Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantine. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Kelly Grant,
the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon available on YouTube. Just go over there and use the search bar. And joining me is the wonderful, hilarious, and lovable, insightful, and thoughtful, and cherubic Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, which is back this week, is it not?
It sure is. We've got a cast preview and a Bachelorette reunion episode this week. So go check that out. We're so excited to be back.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Rose Pricks. And welcome back to everyone. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. We are going to be talking about the season premiere of Real Housewives of Potomac today. But before we do that, of course, we must mention that we have a live show coming up in about 10 days on May 16th in Irvine, California. We are going to be recapping the season premiere of Southern Charm. Season premiere. I mean, that show's coming up right around the corner. So be sure. We have actually less than 100 tickets left for that show. So now we are down to the last few tickets. So if you want to go to watchacrappens.com to get your tickets while you still can. And then, of course, after that, in June, we're going to Milwaukee. And we're also going to Minneapolis, which sold out. Thank you, guys. And then in July, we got Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, and then Nashville in September, and more things to come. Please come to our shows because we love meeting you guys, and we just, the vibe is awesome. It's great to be with your people, so go do that. And while you're at watchacrappens.com, you can also click around and get some lovely merchandise.
Yeah, our shirts this month are Straight to the Rosé and Rosé All Day, Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner. And we also have a new Game of Thrones shirt that says Shut Up, Bran, for our Winter is Crappening Game of Thrones podcast, which you can find on iTunes and everywhere else. Just for all those links, just go to watchitcrappens.com. Okay, everybody?
Yeah, and on top of that, speaking of Bran, we also, if you are a Game of Thrones person, we do have a side podcast called Winter is Crappening where we talk about the Game of Thrones, latest Game of Thrones of the week. We unfortunately did not mention in our latest episode from last night that a Starbucks cup made its way into Winterfell, which is what lit the internet up today. So apologies, we didn't notice it either, but that is hilarious. And I have a complaint about Bran that I'm going to save for the next episode, but someone please remind me to have that, make that complaint, because it was a really good complaint, and I'm so sad that I forgot to mention it last. I'm so sad, but I don't want to say it here because no one's here to listen to
that. Wrong podcast, Ben. Okay, keeping that separate. So welcome to the new season of Real Housewives of Potomac. This is one of my favorite Housewives opening songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too. It's got like gusto.
I really love a good.
It's got like a brass. It's got like a strong like brass section. I know you love a brass section.
Yes, I sure do. This is my favorite Housewives opening This also has one of our favorite side characters that they seem to be ready to feature prominently this year, which is the deer.
The deer.
Little doe.
The deer, I mean, really strong deer game this week. Really happy to see that deer back in action. Makes me happy. I felt a warm, tingly sensation when I saw it. Very first shot of the episode was that deer, in fact. It was like, it was coming on strong. So I was really happy about that.
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't really know what's happening in Potomac or what this city's all about, it's about deer and people playing golf.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what we learned from every transitional shot.
Yeah. So we have our opening lines for the season. And we have, it starts off with Giselle, who's like, "I'm the baddest thing walking. And the smartest one talking."
Whatever, Giselle. And then I haven't had enough of a break to not be mad at Giselle. But we mm-hmm. do get some classic Giselle and Karen this episode, so I'm grateful. Yeah. So the next one is Miss Grand Dame Karen Huger. And she says, "You can try and tear me down, but the Grand Dame never grumbles."
Which is a lie. She always crumbles.
You're constantly crumbling. This entire episode is flashbacks to you crumbling. Now, for good reason.
Yeah. Okay? Monique, still. Monique's is a little forced. It's like two separate concepts linked together tenuously. She goes, "I've traded in my umbrella, and it's all gold at the end of this rainbow." I think the umbrella is a reference to the fact that she pushed an umbrella up against Robin's neck last season.
Yeah, she almost strangled Robin with an umbrella.
Right. And then it's like there's a rainbow came out because she put away her umbrella because it stopped raining, and now a rainbow's come out, and then there's gold. It's like there's a little bit too much of a story that you have to put together.
Yeah, because the way that she says it, "I've traded in my umbrella, it's all gold at the end of this rainbow," it's like it makes it sound that there was normally an umbrella at the end of the rainbow. And that now that there's not an umbrella, there's gold.
Yeah. It's like I don't even think she needed to go to the umbrella place. I think it should be her tagline should have been something like, "I'm into essential oils, but I'm not into essential bitches," or something like that.
"Don't try and scheme against me. I'm on top of a pyramid," because like her pyramid sales or whatever.
"I may have crashed into a small tree and almost crashed into a larger tree.
But I'm at least I've got bark. That tree is a triggered victim."
"I don't drink and drive, but I sure do get tired after I drink and then drive."
Is it bad when you drink and then drive? Or how about
a bush count as a tree?
How about just a classic? Look, I think if you live like Monique Samuels, all you really need to say is, "I have a fish tank in my kitchen." The end.
How about, "I've had 3 kids with Chris Samuels, and I'm not a pancake."
So then Robin Dixon is up next, and she's like, "The shorter my hair, the shorter my patience." Robin, is that going to be your storyline, that you cut your hair again? I hate, because you know there's people like that in real life. They're like, "Oh my god, everything's different, I cut my hair." And you're like, you cut it 2 weeks ago, okay? You don't get a party every time you like get an inch off your hair.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that Robin is going down the same path. Like, she's gone down this, her storyline's been the same for 3 seasons. You know, like, "Well, me and Juan, well, we're divorced. But, like, we still live together, and, you know, we have sex sometimes, but we're not in a relationship, and he hurt me." I'm like, oh, gosh, we're going down this path again, aren't we?
We are, and that's,
it's going to be different because her hair is shorter. I don't think so.
"But I got a haircut. My husband cheated, but I got a haircut." that's kind of my main complaint about this whole episode, and I guess the season, because it's the exact same thing as it was just a second ago. Like, nothing's changed. Everybody's story, not only are everybody's storylines the same, but they tell you about them like it's the first time you've heard it, you know?
Yeah.
Monique's like, "My husband would like me to be a stay-at-home mom, but I'm an entrepreneur." I'm like, babe. It's season 4, okay?
I actually like Ashley's line. She goes, "Karma's a bitch, but luckily I'm on her good side. Also, my husband groped Karma's ass."
"I was on her good side until my husband felony assaulted her in the butt." And so now is Candace. Now that I'm marrying my prince, the Sleeping Beauty is woke. I'm like, oh God, is Candace going to be a Bernie bro now? It's like,
I know.
Candace is like voting for Bernie. That's her storyline.
I was like, please don't make Candace like an activist. Not that activism is bad. I just feel like Candace's version will be just like not good for anyone. This marrying my prince, the Sleeping Beauty is woke. Please. Please, Candace, please.
If Sleeping Beauty was really woke and like saw what was going on in the current world, she'd go back to bed. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all I have to say is also, like, let's... Her prince. I mean, he's a manager at a barbecue restaurant.
Who forgets to bring napkins on picnics.
I know. Who was just telling us, though, that he gives... One of our listeners gets free Diet Cokes from him.
Well, there you go. Right? He is a prince after
all. He is kind of a prince.
Changes everything. So yeah. They're like, this season on Potomac. And if you want to hear our recap of that, it's an hour long and it's in our Patreon bonus episodes. So go check those out. But I just had to point out, the season is already scaring me because one of their upcoming on this season is someone at the dentist screaming. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good omen.
Maybe it's Candace. Maybe it's Candace being woke. At the dentist's. She's being woke about cardiovascular disease that can be caused by gingivitis.
Yeah.
Now she knows.
She's woke about caps. So,
Well, I'm surprised. If she was at the dentist, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that her opening line was like, I may be a princess, but at least I've got a crown. And you just see her. Get some dental humor in there.
I'm a bridge.
I'm building
over
a bridge
crown
with the
caps.
Other women.
So then we get the what everybody's doing today thing. It's like, ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Adira is sniffing some grass. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. People are playing golf. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. And then Karen's in her house that she totally lives in and doesn't rent. And she's like, okay, Salmon, I'm going to try and cook you in this oven. Babe, the oven's not working. Babe, how do I use the oven? Ovens.
Oh, you know, it took me about 15 years just to understand how to use the fax machine, and now I've got to learn how to use an oven. It's difficult.
Babe, you've been trying to convince us that you really live in this house for how long? You don't know how to use the oven.
Yeah, this is like your first time using the oven. Like, at least use a skillet for the salmon if the cameras are there, okay?
Yeah. And then Robin is playing basketball with her family. And then over at Monique's, her kids are taking swim lessons and asking for lollipops. And then we see Candace with the wedding planner and her mom and talking about where the dad's going to sit. And the mom just has that annoyed with Candace face, which I think, you know, I think if we all look in the mirror, we all have that face.
Yeah, it's pretty representative of the audience at all times. And by the way, we have to give a big shout out to, I don't know, is it the Kimberly Clark Corporation or whoever's providing the little cocktail napkins for Candace this episode? Because she goes through a whole bunch, okay? It's like, the weather today is going to be 76 with, 10% humidity. And it's like, immediately, she's like dabbing her eyes. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, she does that thing where she folds the napkin up into little tinier squares and then just blinks into the squares. It's very Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, it's very, but she does it with everything causes her to do that. She sees a coupon for, you know, ShopRite and she's dabbing her eyes.
Yeah, a little square, a little origami, little cryogami square.
Yeah, so I have to say, I got so excited because in the first true scene we saw on the bottom of the screen, it said 1 week until Candace's wedding. And I was like, oh, thank God they're not dragging this out over the entire season. It's like, it's in a week. That means it's going to be next episode and we are done. It is over. Thank you. Bravo.
I don't know. I think they can get 4 episodes until that.
Oh, God. I really hope not.
So we open with Giselle cooking for her kids. And her kids are like, I hate your pants.
They're hideous. The kids, not the kids, the pants.
The snake pants, her snake pants. I mean, I think they're very fitting. I think everybody should just dress like their personality. Why stop there?
Yeah. So Giselle announces that she's going to Candace's wedding, which is surprising because Candace and Giselle did not get along. But she's going to Candace's wedding and she's going with Sherman, of all people.
Yeah. So I guess they started shooting this. They keep. I'm confused about the timelines because they keep saying things like 8 months ago. She's like, 8 months ago, we broke up. But they didn't shoot this 8 months after the reunion, right? Had she already broken up with Sherman at the reunion?
No, she broke up with Sherman during the season. They said at one point that, like, at one point during the show, they referred to something that happened at the reunion, and it was like, they said it was 2 weeks ago. So it looked like they started filming it 2 weeks after the reunion.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. I was confused. Yeah. I'm very easily confused, guys.
So basically, Sherman reached out to Giselle and said that he misses her and, you know, he loves her. And he's probably running out of money and wants to get some of that Real Housewives money, and now they're in therapy.
Yeah. And isn't it nice that Sherman came back, like, right before shooting? What a shocker.
Yeah.
He's totally there for the love, okay? You think the cameras are rolling again? I'm really sorry, okay? For somebody who doesn't want to be on TV. So yeah. Giselle just totally screwed over Karen. Now, I know that people are up and down with Karen. I personally love Karen.
Love her.
And Karen does a lot of stupid things, but Giselle's a terrible, terrible, awful friend.
I love Giselle, too, though. She's a bad friend, but I love Giselle.
Yeah, Giselle.
I love Giselle and Karen.
Yes, Ben loves Giselle. I do not love Giselle. Giselle goes on my Katie Kyle rack of people that I can't stand. I think she's a horrible human being. So that's where we stand with her. But it's like typical Giselle, where she's like, well, we're making cookies for Miss Karen. Our relationship has taken a turn, and I want to turn it back. I'm going to remind her of the good times with cookies.
You know, even though I love Giselle, I do think she has to examine herself, that every single season has to start with her trying to win back the favor of a castmate. Like, every single season, she's like, has a long-term friend who hates her, and she has to win them over again.
Yeah, that's Giselle. And here's one of the reasons I think I would like Giselle in real life. Because she's like, I've really missed my friend. I miss somebody that you can talk trash with and about everybody else with. Which I think is a great basis for a friendship.
I mean, I feel like I could for sure go and get drinks with Giselle, and we'd have the best time, and she would be so messy, and I'd just be there for it.
Yeah, and we see the reunion where Karen's having a breakdown because her parents passed away, and she's crying, and then Giselle comes in and hugs her and tells her she's a strong woman, and then it cuts to Karen going, hugging me won't fix the way she treated me last year.
She reminds me of a possessed Cabbage Patch doll with green eyes and a diaper full of poop. I'm like, what sort of Cabbage Patch dolls did you play with?
Don't you remember those in the 80s? The National Enquirer always had stories about Cabbage Patch dolls coming to life and killing the kids. And they were, because in the 80s we had the satanic panic, and everybody thought everything was satanic. And like, there were literally devils living in your, I mean, I did grow up in a very like born again kind of household, but this was all over the covers of the National Enquirer, so I think that that's what Karen's thinking of. Like,
she's tapping. Well, it's appropriate. She keeps her references as modern as her appliances. But you know, it's for me, it's less about a Cabbage Patch Kid that comes to life and kills you. I'm more concerned about a Cabbage Patch Kid that poops itself.
Yeah, because that also like means it's pleasant. Eating your food. You know, it's like, I already paid for you. So one of the kids
I got
like,
another mouth to feed.
She goes, one of the kids is like, Cookies, are you mean to Karen? And she said, no, but Karen sometimes just doesn't know how to take a joke. I'm like, oh, really? A joke?
Bullshit.
And then we get a montage. And the kid says, well, maybe you shouldn't have said the joke. And then we get a montage of Giselle just being awful. Okay.
Right. Listen, and by the way, I'm not saying that Giselle's not awful to these people and isn't an awful person. I'm just saying I really enjoy her awfulness. Like, it really, it speaks to me. I like her for what she does. What I don't like is when someone says, well, they didn't know how to take the joke. It's like, if they don't know how to take the joke, you made a bad joke. You have to always know
your
audience.
What joke was that? When you were telling everybody that she was cheating on her husband, or that her husband was cheating on her? Or the one where you brought the actual person that you thought was cheating or invited her somewhere.
Or like when you like mocked her tax problems.
Yeah, you made t-shirts to mock her tax problems. Which joke was that?
And then Giselle goes, she says this as if she's had some extreme personal growth. She goes, I realize now that Karen wasn't ready to accept my jokes. Oh, okay. Okay. That's what it was. She wasn't ready to accept them.
It's also my favorite thing about this show. It's so silly.
Now, and by the way, we can't let Karen off the hook, because Karen is the most dramatic person. And if she can take a chance to be offended or upset about something, she will take it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's great. And this show has come so far. I am so proud of Potomac because it is so good. I love this show. And I'm so excited that it's back on the air. I really enjoyed this first episode, even though, like you said, it sort of retreads a lot of things. I'm just like, the show is where it needs to be. The cast is great. Very happy.
This is the grand dame of commercial breaks. Time to take one. Security. Security.
So then we go over to Ashley's high rise, and this is one of two storylines.
I forgot about this scene.
This is one of two storylines. It's like typical Bravo. We're really happy right before they get divorced. Mm-hmm. And this is just a classic scene. Ashley is in lingerie making a smoothie for her man. And she's like, Mikey's getting more than just coffee this morning. And I was like, oh, good. You're going to go try.
I don't like that she's calling him Mikey. I don't like that she's making him coffee. I don't like the pants. I don't like the sleeve.
I don't like the cut. So,
I don't like the sexuality.
It's just gross. And he's like red in the face, you know? And so they say that this was before he was in trouble for this sexual harassment stuff, but didn't they bring up that stuff at the reunion?
You know, it's hard to remember which sexual scandal is which with Michael. I mean, I just feel like there's I think we're going to have to, like, we'll have to put a pin in that one because it just seems like there's always another one, you know?
Yeah.
So she puts a blindfold on him and, you know, they're talking about how, you know, I had forgotten that she had had a miscarriage, which is so sad. But it has brought them closer together. And now they're trying for baby number two. And so then we see him with a blindfold on and she has like a strawberry in her mouth and she's like feeding it into his mouth. Like, it was like a baby bird actually regurgitating up for the mama bird instead. Ugh. And it was like disgusting. And then she takes like some whipped cream and she puts it on her chest and she's like, lick it off my chest. And he like, this like lizard tongue comes out. It's like, I was like, oh my God.
It was horrifying. And then she had to take off his blindfold so that he could see it was her chest. I was like, oh my God, this poor guy.
Have you ever seen a giraffe eating, by the way?
Yes, of course. It's one of my favorite Facebook videos. When people are sitting in a restaurant and giraffes stick their head in and they feed the giraffes from their plate, from their dinner plate.
But they've got that tongue that comes out. Yeah. That's like surprisingly like lengthy and like disgusting tongue. And that's what like Michael
It's like
had.
A little baby arm coming out of something's mouth and grabbing whatever. And that was pretty gross, and I was screaming at my TV and vowing to never cover that. I was actually screaming at my TV, look, we don't have to cover you. Texicon is airing this week.
We can go back and do Mexican Dynasties, okay? Like, we don't need to see this.
Yeah. This is your final warning, Real Housewives of Potomac, okay? And I thought that was disgusting, but what also disgusted me was when she was talking about how this time they're going to really hit it out of the park and put a little Joey in her pouch. You serve kangaroo meat. Okay, can we not discuss this in those terms?
Oh my
jerks!
I mean, whenever people talk about Joeys and pouches, I always think about that one episode from like, you know, like 45 years ago when the Simpsons went to Australia and Bart Simpson sees a kangaroo and is all excited. He's like, "I'm gonna get into its pouch," and he puts his foot in, and he's like, "Ew!" And he takes his foot out, and it's like all like. Like liquid on it and stuff. He's like, this wasn't as fun as I thought. So anytime like people talk about like Joeys and pouches and like, ooh, it's so cute, a Joey in the pouch, I just think of like sticky liquids.
Gross. I think of Meryl Streep getting her baby stolen by a dingo, and that's not even a kangaroo. So what do you know, that's how the brain works.
Yeah. We have very specific associations and none of them were positive for this moment.
So she's being sexy and trying to convince us that their marriage is working. And whenever somebody does that, it means their marriage is not working.
Yeah,
okay?
It's a failure. And she's also talking about how in anticipation of trying to have a baby, since she doesn't want to have a miscarriage again, she's going to take a holistic approach to fertilization. And so she's like trying all these things, doing like yoga and eating like more of a plant-based diet and belly massage and wool socks.
Yeah, the internet will fuck you up, man. If you ever look at like how to do something on the internet, it's like, oh, I have a growth on my head. Oh, just put some apple cider vinegar on it and drink it 20 times a day, you know? And then you walk around smelling like a dead person who peed himself.
Yeah. Just wear a felt cap for a day and let that energy just make it go away.
Here, buy this tiny little electric shock machine and just put the little things all over your body and just keep shocking yourself. I'm sure that'll work.
You have to wean yourself off of using ballpoint pens because that actually can have an effect on your body's balance.
Yeah, thanks a lot, internet.
I know. Thanks a lot, not for lazy moms.
So she's like riding Michael and, you know, it's grossing America out. And then it says 2 months later. And then we just see Robin on her couch cracking up while she reads about Michael's sexual assault.
She's like, she goes, ooh. Yeah. And they're all just gossiping. And then like Giselle's watching the report on the news and she's like, who gets 11 years for squeezing ass?
And then we cut back and Ashley's like, I haven't looked at your face this close in a while. It's beautiful. It's like, what? And he goes, thanks, babe. I'm like, oh.
He looks like one of those rock people from Frozen.
I usually love Ashley, but I can't with this. Please.
I know. I actually really love Ashley, too. But, you know, this is just, it's, honestly, I was traumatized by that tongue. Like, I just keep thinking, just, there was like, well, if people didn't watch the show, what they have to really realize is that there was a full-on tuft of whipped cream. Like, it was like a big old thing. And that tongue came out and just, like, snatched all the whipped cream and it went right into his mouth. Like that. And I was like, oh, my God. This guy's a monster. He's a lizard person. He's from V.
Listen, this isn't bring your old man to work day. Okay? Save it. Get him off my screen.
I do not support this.
So next up, let's go to the Pitmaster.
Yeah.
Where Chris is working on his laptop, babe.
Yeah. And Candace, of course, has busied herself up, but she's with wedding shit. She's like, oh my God, like this seating chart isn't in yet and there's 4 days left. And he's like, oh my God, kill me now. Just drown me in a vat of free Diet Coke.
She's like, you would think a whole year would be enough time to plan this grandiose wedding, but here I am.
Yeah. Last minute Lucy is still planning. I mean, there's the prenup and there's the ring shopping, the dance. I'm like, oh. I was so grateful that the producers put all of this stuff, all like the prenup and the ring shopping, the dance rehearsal, into just like a quick montage. I was like, thank you.
Yeah, because I've had it. I've had it with this wedding bullshit, okay?
Yeah, enough.
So their main drama is that she has a stepbrother because her dad had a love child.
Her half-brother.
Or a half-brother, pardon me. And she wants to invite him to the wedding, but the mom doesn't. It's going to really piss off the mom. And she's like, but I don't want to have to do everything just because my mom's paying. Okay, look, that is an extenuating circumstance, okay? An actual family member that you can't invite. But as far as everything else you're complaining about, yes, ma'am, you do have to do it because your mom's paying for it. And stop acting like such a fucking victim about it. If you want your own house, get a job and pay for your own house. Yeah, build a business.
Uber. Okay? Start driving Uber, okay?
Yeah, do what the rest of us have to do and make a fucking effort in life. I'm so sick of this whiny little brat.
Yeah, stop wasting all of Chris's cocktail napkins while you dab your eyes and start driving Uber, okay? You know, those napkins aren't for free, right? They don't just, like, grow off of trees. There's no such thing as a napkin tree.
Yes. But, she's like, because my mother contributes a lot to my life, she thinks that she owns me. Yeah, so pay for stuff.
That's why she does it. That's why she does it, okay? That's people who pay for other people tend to have certain senses of entitlement, okay?
Yeah, look at Ashley. Look at the scene with Ashley where she's like, do you think I'm better now, babe? Because he was going to leave her if she didn't change her ways, and she hated it, and it was unfair, but that's where she's getting her money. So she's like, okay, I'll change it, which is gross and still makes me hate Michael.
Right. But you know, Candace...
There you go.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, Candace is sitting here. She's complaining. You know, she's like, you know, I'm in over $100,000 on the wedding, and, like, you know, my mom wrote the checks, and now I feel like if my mom says something, like, scathing, I can't say anything back. I'm like, well, you know, whose choice was it to have a $100,000 wedding? Okay, you could have had a $5,000 wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, do you need flowers on the ceiling? I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's called have a buffet. Get a buffet.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of pity for Candace.
But also, the mom needs to also get some of her shit together, too. You know, the mom's a therapist, and she's still angry at her husband over a love child. Like, she's mad at the love child from 30 years ago, and you're a therapist, and you haven't been able to deal with your emotions yet. I know that therapists tend to be the most fucked up people, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not saying the mom is right, for sure. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact that Candace is just a spoiled little asshole who needs to get a job.
Listen, I have been traumatized by Michael's tongue, and now I'm, like, in a state, okay?
I'm so traumatized by Ashley being like, am I better now, babe? Have I changed enough? And he's like, yes, I love how you've changed. What about how he's changed? Why does Ashley have to do all the changing? What the hell?
It depends. So now we go over to Great Falls, and Karen's, like, hanging out in her closet. Like, a giant Chanel throw blanket has been cast over this couch. Perfectly so. Perfect, ready for the cameras.
It's so funny, though, because it's probably fake Chanel blanket. To brag about how rich she is, but then in her closet is like Target shelving, and I recognize it because I have it.
Yeah, like you could see, like you could see, like a little jar of what do you call them? Stanley wrenches or whatever. They're not called Stanley wrenches.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, the little L wrenches,
L bar, aren't they? I want to say they're called Stanley wrenches, but they're not called Stanley wrenches.
What is blue mercury? Mother's Day favorites bag, because this is what Matt brings her as a gift. I'm looking. It's like makeup and stuff, or like skin products. Okay. I was seeing if Matt owned this.
Matt, the lawyer slash assistant slash marketer slash chef.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I'm assuming it was something that Matt did, or Matt owns, because he's like, oh, I have a gift for you, and it's like blue mercury bag. So Matt comes over, and she's like, oh, look at you, coming bearing gifts, lemonade. It's what all the stars are drinking these days. It's like,
Did you notice that she served him iceless lemonade? There was no ice in the pitcher, and there was no ice in the glass.
Yeah, that was some crystal light if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, that was some room temp lemonade that was not
just
not
fresh
homemade.
From the oven.
Oh, I just boiled up a pitcher of lemonade. You care for some?
I was just trying to use the lemon squeezer. He's like, that was the oven. Mm.
Well, turns out our oven has been cooking a lot of things lately, like our lemonade. And I thought it was the freezer.
So she's really doubling down on Matt. She's like, Matt is more than a coworker. He's a friend. Now, would you like your coffee black, Matt? And he's like, as a Republican's heart. And so
she's like, good, you can help me use this coffee machine. His name is Mr. Coffee. He's a dignitary, and you should be so honored to meet him.
So she's talking about how Matt is never scheming against her. He's a real friend. When the plot last year was that Matt's all over town talking trash about Karen.
Yeah, because you know who's really trustworthy? Gay hangers-on Bravo. Sorry.
Yeah. Matt Blizzard over there.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Blizzard Sessa.
Mm-hmm. So Karen's like, oh, this is a strange new life for me, being on this planet without my mother and dad. And I'm like, that's really sad. So are we going to have any new stories this year? Any?
Well, of course there's a new story. There's the case of my oven, which has space-age technology that not even a common lady who has lived with this oven for many, many months can understand.
Hmm. And so next up is Jiz, of course, Giselle, calling as she's driving. She calls Robin. Robin's like, hi, this is Robin. Please leave a message. Robin, did you answer your phone?
I did. I just say that so I don't have to talk back much. I like people to leave messages so that way my life doesn't feel as lonely.
Hmm. So, if you could leave a message, what would you say? So Giselle's like, well, guess where I am? I'm in the Great Falls. And she's like, what are you doing in the woods? I'm like, Robin, hi, you live an hour and a half away, so maybe you could stop the location shaming.
Yeah, I know. Enjoy your, like, one-bedroom lean-to over there.
Enjoy your parking space at the HOA, okay, Robin?
Yeah, enjoy your tandem parking spot, which... As an owner of a tandem parking spot or a user of one, I just am saying I have one too. So there.
You're competing over nothing with
nobody.
No,
I'm just saying, like, before anyone gets mad, like, wait a second, I have a tandem parking spot too. And I'm going to say, no, I have one too. But she's a real housewife, and she should not have a tandem parking spot. Shannon Bedore.
So,
Shannon Bedore's calling up. She's angry.
Well, what's a tandem parking spot? Do you have to pay for that?
Huh. Well, it was my understanding that if you were going to have a tandem parking spot, there would be someone else in your life to share it with.
So Robin's like, Karen invited you over to her house? And she's like, well, I'm about to call her and tell her I have cookies. So no, Karen did not invite her because she knows that Giselle knows that Karen would just hang up on her if she said she wanted to go have lunch. So she's just going to try and shock her.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, you know how the cool kids miss the old Kanye? Well, I miss the old Karen. You know, the new Karen only wants to make sweatpants out of leather and have stone toilets. I miss the old Karen.
Yeah, the old Karen hadn't been fucked over by the old Giselle yet. Okay, yeah. Old Giselle.
Yeah, exactly. So so Matt's just sitting there and with Karen, and he's like, so how are you? And Karen's like, well, I'm crazy busy. I have a fragrance that I have just drawn a sketch for. It's like, can you draw sketches for fragrances? No, but I drew it anyway. So we're really coming along,
It just says smells like grapes or something. And he's like, well, I saw your billboard. She goes, oh, yes, my billboard in Times Square. And then we see the billboard, and you know that it's one of those ones that blinks on and off with different advertisements. It's like yeah. above the theater that has that like long-running murder mystery dinner theater show.
Fuck that. She probably like drew a picture of a billboard and taped it onto her phone. Like, look at this. It's like, is that something? Did you tape a billboard onto your a picture yeah. of Times Square on your phone?
She just posted her face over the cat's billboard.
She doesn't even have a cell phone. It's just a picture frame. Look at my cell phone.
It's just a picture of a nose. So Matt's like, oh, so the fragrance your friend said was ever going to be released. I'm like, you're not helping Matt, okay? You yeah. thirst bomb. So she's like, well, you know me. I don't listen to haters. I just do business.
So Giselle calls up Karen and does a Southern charm line. She's like, well, I'm in your neck of the woods, and I thought I would drop by. And so then Karen does one of my favorite things that Karen does, which is she speaks like excessively formally. She goes, oh, Giselle, I'm going to have to ask you to hold off because my family is in a grieving state, and therefore, unto the henceforth, we are need and request your privacy at this heretofore moment.
And Giselle's like, well, I just want you to know I'm here for you. And Karen's like, well, you've been saying that. Mm-hmm. And yes, I hear you. I hear you, Giselle, saying that you're here for me. So thank you very much. And now please let me get back to the process of the grieving process with the family who's here to take care of me as I grieve henceforth.
I must now get back to this beautiful couple who are clearly on their first date who keep calling me on my cell phone. And Matt's like, that's actually the picture that came with that frame. Oh.
So she hangs up and she's like, wow. Okay, man, let's get back. And she's mad that Giselle's trying to do this, obviously. And Matt's like, do I need to call for backup? And she's like, oh, Giselle still doesn't understand manners.
Yeah. Yeah, she's saying, like, well, I need Giselle to own up to all the things that she did, and Robin has to apologize for the pranks. The pranks were no good. No pizza pranks.
Yeah. She lists why she hates everybody, and they're all hilarious reasons.
So, yeah. And then she comes up with this bullshit where she's like, well, you know, at the reunion, you know, Giselle did hug me when I was feeling sad, but I was in a flood of emotions, and I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't even know she was hugging me until I happened to look up. I mean, I thought it was just the hug of all of America, and I didn't realize it was just her cold, steely, awful hands.
I'm watching you, Giselle, with a third eye. It's like, what does that mean? You obviously don't know what a third eye is. She's like, I'm watching you with my third eye, and you will hit a speed bump too hard in 2 weeks and have to get your tire changed.
So, yeah, so Karen's like, yeah, it's too soon for me to get back with Giselle. But then Giselle calls again, and Karen's like, oh, look, she's trying to come to my property, which I own, as evidenced by the fact that I have such ease of use with my oven over here.
So Giselle tells her, I'm trying not to bother you, Karen, but my kids made these cookies. And she's like, oh, you're playing the baby card, Giselle. That is the baby card, Giselle.
Yeah. Which is true. So Karen's like, no, well, Giselle, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Matt out to get the cookies. And Giselle's like, no. I don't want to see Matt.
And then we see a clip of all the ladies questioning Matt. last year, putting grilling Matt, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then Giselle tells us, I don't understand. You're grieving, but Matt can come out. Matt can come over. I'm like, yeah, because they're friends, Giselle.
Yeah, that's usually the way it works. So Karen's like, all right, I will come to the door because this is about your children. I'm like, wait, what? It's not about the children, just... They made cookies. Okay, it's not like any of them like need your vital support in like accepting their cookies.
Yeah, and so she opens the door and Giselle's not there yet. She's like, huh, no, Giselle. Zebras don't change their stripes. Now she wants to be a koala bear.
They're literally treating this as if there's could be like a hostage handoff, you know? Like there's like ransom money to be paid and an executive from American Express is going to be like tumble out of Giselle's car and flee for safety inside Karen's home.
And Karen thinks that Giselle just basically dinged on ditched her. She's like, oh, well, that's fine. I will not be here. I will go upstairs. None of this ever happened. Ding dong. Oh, hello, Giselle. I've come back. I've decided to come back.
I know. And I like the idea that if someone says like, oh, I'm going to come over. I've got cookies. Okay. Well, I've opened the door. You're not here.
Yeah.
It's like there's travel time involved, Karen. And then she opens the door. And then so Giselle gives her the thing. And she's like, well, I appreciate you for making the effort, but... It's a private moment. It's a private moment. I'm hanging out with Matt, and he decided to wear flip-flops on national television. We're having a very private moment.
I'll reach out after the wedding. And so she takes the cookies, and she tells Matt, it does look like little girls made this, Matt. It was the right thing to do, wasn't it? Oh my God, Giselle really does know Karen. I mean, she really knows how to play that woman like a fiddle.
I mean, listen, I could be played like a fiddle if someone brought me chocolate chip cookies. I'm just saying.
Noted.
I'm easily swayed.
Noted.
Easily swayed. Next time you want something, next time around, you're like, should we record 8 episodes a week? I'm like, no. And you'll be like, here are some cookies. Oh, sure. 8 sounds great. That's how you do it.
And so Giselle leaves all pissed off because she's like, well, Karen said in the past, if she's grieving, I should knock down the door. I'm like, yeah, I think she meant that as a friend, not the second housewife start shooting again, and you don't want to get, you know, outed for anything Sherman's done in the past few months.
True. Although, it has only been 2 weeks since the reunion, so I think that's within a respectable window. But you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Right. That was like a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. Did you just send me a... chocolate chip cookie into my brain? Because I was... You're right, Ronnie. You're right. Absolutely right. So Monique is now looking at like a photo collage of like her and Chris when she was pregnant, I guess last time or 2 times ago, whatever. She just has a tacky old collage of like, look at me being pregnant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I really appreciated was that Monique just starts barking at her children. She just starts yelling at them like, get off. You're doing too much. Get out of here now.
Yeah. Get off of my ball. Like she gets all pissed off at the kids, the whole thing. And then she's trying to talk to Chris and one of them starts dumping Legos all over the countertop. And it's like, clink, 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 clink. And she just looks at him with a smile like, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. She goes, Chris likes me better when I'm pregnant. I don't have the energy to go 0 to 100 on anybody. I'm like, or in a car after you've been drinking.
And Chris is like, she's miserable pregnant, but Chris is so happy that she's pregnant. He's like skipping around the kitchen. He's like, what can I make you today, my queen?
I like the idea of Chris skipping around the kitchen because I just imagine all the plates being like... All the plates are just like falling out into the trash.
The fish are all terrified and trying to hide under the treasure chest in the aquarium.
Everyone's expecting everyone's like looking at water shaking, expecting a T-Rex to show up in the kitchen. No, it's just Chris dancing around.
So they're talking about how they're going to do a baby shower, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's going to invite some of the girls. And he's like, well, you definitely owe Giselle an apology. I have to work out together with Sherman, and you put me in an uncomfortable position. I told him you would apologize. You hang out with Messi, you become messy.
God forbid that Chris's casual relationship with Sherman at the gym is jeopardized. I'm sorry. Sherman was messy. He deserved to have his shit put out there. I support it.
Yeah, Sherman was messy in a public park, and public parks are paid for by taxpayers. Therefore, that is public information.
Yeah, that is public information. And honestly, he ghosted Giselle, and that was not cool. And you know what? When you ghost someone, your shit gets put out there on if you're on real if you're dealing with reality TV. Okay?
Yeah, and Monique's like, well, look, I really didn't have any right to put Sherman's business out there, and the only reason I did it was to spite Giselle, and that's wrong. I was like, excuse me, that's part of your job description.
Yeah, I was like, I don't see a problem here. Like, you're on Bravo.
Exactly. Well done. Here's a raise.
Yeah, you're doing a lot more than the people on Beverly Hills, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. So let's go over to the Pearl Spa Boutique, where now is the second scene of the episode of a couple trying to convince us that they're happy when they're quite obviously overcompensating awkwardly.
Yeah, Robin's like, yeah, Juan and I are in a great place, and like, we've been, you know, we've been doing like bunny rabbits, you know? What do you call those animals that have no real relationship? But have sex once in a while, and then everyone says, why don't you guys have a relationship? And you say, no, we're not in a relationship. And then you like to act like you're in a relationship, and then lead people on to think you're in a relationship, but you're not in a relationship. Those are bunnies, right?
Wait, bunny rabbits fuck a lot. No, I just meant those animals that hop around and make little tiny poop balls all over the living room. Yeah, those
Do
are bunny rabbits.
Have tandem parking spots?
Do they have what?
Tandem parking spots.
Yeah, so, and she literally starts the scene off by going, my hair isn't the only thing that's changed. Oh!
I'm like, honey, it changed last season, so. At the reunion. Looks great, but I'm just saying.
Okay, lady. So they're at this place where this lady's going to teach him how to give romantic massages to each other. And Juan, of course, looks like he totally does not want to be there at all. Juan is making nice for the cameras because he works for a college now and has, like, a behavior clause or something. So he's like, I'm a family man.
Yeah, and note that, you know, Robin's like, things have been better in, like, a really good place. But she doesn't say, oh, we are, like, dating again or we're actively in a relationship. She just says they're having sex. Like, I'm like, so you're basically where you were before. And you're just trying to make it seem like it's something that it's not.
Yeah, and it's happier now because he's not at home anymore. He's off doing his thing somewhere else.
Yeah. Another thing that's not so surprising, Robin tells us that she's still doing real estate with her mom. And she's like, well, the rehab project that I was doing last year that was supposed to be 4 months is now in month 10. I'm like, really? The termite infested, like, broken down home that you found that looked like it was full of, like, asbestos and mold and, like, floors that had holes in them. That's it didn't take 4 months to fix that.
Yeah,
shit.
I can't believe Robin's a mess. Robin's just a mess. My God. So she tells us, like, it's the first time we've ever heard it. She says, even though me and Juan are divorced, we live together with our children. And people say that they wouldn't put up with the junk that I've put up with, but I see potential in Juan. He may not change the light bulbs at home, but he's good with his hands. Get it? Oh, it's like this scene is making like I'm literally getting depressed. This is the same exact monologue you've given every single season, Robin.
This is actually worse because now, on top of everything else, he doesn't change light bulbs at home. Do you have to do that?
Yeah, that's the least
and
you can do.
He's the tall one.
I mean, that really goes to show you're not sorry for anything that you've done. When you've cheated and still get to live with your wife, that's bad enough. But then when you refuse to do the light bulbs, fuck off.
I know.
Dude. Get out of my house.
Yeah. Change those light bulbs, sir. You're tall. You can reach them. You're putting. Is Robin have to climb up on a ladder? Come on.
Yeah. And then they have this awkward conversation again. Like, it is crazy. When we got married, we probably weren't ready. I'm like, oh. All right. Fast forward.
I know. The rest of the scene was just Robin getting sweaty in a hot tub.
Yeah, I hope that the rest of the season learns how to pick up, because I cannot watch this. Like, we're all beginning the exact same storylines for 4 years all over
again.
It'll be fine.
Don't you worry.
I'm worried, okay? Is Robin sweating to death in a hot tub while Juan refuses to even get in? This is not a good omen.
So then we get to see the fawn. Very happy. The little fawn walking on a lawn. Fawn on a lawn. Our favorite star. And then Monique is talking on the phone Monique's talking to Karen on the phone about Candace, who's having a hard time with her mom. I guess we're just seeing little shots of things happening, because then we also see Ashley says she's like a Sherman fan to Giselle, and then Giselle gives Ashley a cock ring. It was just like lots of things happening.
Yes, they started this episode over again. This was like another opening of an episode where it's like, here's what everyone's doing today. Then it's 4 days until Candy's wedding, and Karen shows up at Candy's house, and she's like, this is beautiful, Candy. It's beautiful. I've never been here before. Tiffany's. Tiffany. Have you ever heard of Blue Mercury? It's much better.
Yeah, and Candace is like, yeah, the gifts have started to come in early, so I decided to put them out on the counter since the cameras were here, and look what I got a hand blender. I'm like, that did not come from Tiffany's. We know that box is empty.
It's a box from Reebok
that you painted blue. Okay.
Stupid Candace. And Karen's like, so you got an oven. Congratulations.
Oh, you got a hand oven. How does this work? Oh, it looks very complicated. All these buttons. Like, there's one button.
And then Candace just keeps pressing the button to blend. And she's like, yeah. And Karen's like, that's adorable. She's like, yeah, still doing it. Still pressing the button. Karen's like, yes, there she is. Still doing that. Okay, well, you're still pressing that button, Candace. Oh, Candace, you are wacky and wild pressing the button style. Now, you can stop now.
You can stop now. I'm here. The scene can begin. You can stop. Okay. All right. Oh, that's fun. You're blending the air. Very fun. Very exciting. Still doing it.
And she tells us, she's trying to pretend like, oh, it's just so wacky. You know, we're so youthful. We're both so youthful in the heart. She's like, there's no boundary in our relationship. She's even said she wants her mother to dress like me.
Oh, you're still running that hand blender even during my interview, aren't you?
Still doing it.
Okay.
And Monique's like, these napkins, recognize them. They're from the engagement party. They're about to be covered in my snot and eyeliner. So.
Dab, 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 dab. And then Karen's like, is that the bonsai tree that Ashley gave you at your engagement party? And we see the bonsai tree's like full on dead.
Yeah.
Because, like, of course, it was supposed to represent, like, happiness and prosperity and, you know, family. And it's just, like, wilted and dry.
It's all depressed because Michael grabbed its ass on the way out. So
it's all depressed because it was, you know, it still hasn't seen Chris's famous black dick.
Oh, God. I forgot about that.
Oh, how could you forget?
So Karen's like, bury it. They start laughing. And so she's like, no.
I'm talking about your hand blender. Turn that damn thing off. Bury that shit.
Karen's like, okay, now let's talk about important things. Your wedding, girlfriend. And Candace takes a big chug of her drink. And Karen's like, that was a big gulp.
Oh, take your time. Take a big gulp out of your oven there.
No, what is it, Candace? No, Candace. Now, Candace, tell me, Candace.
Mama Karen.
Yeah, you two really seem like natural best friends over there.
Yeah. So Candace tells a story about her half-brother and basically how he reminds her mother, Dorothy, of the pain of the love of her life, cheating on her, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. And Karen's like, well, invite him anyway. You have no guilt. No guilt at all. I mean, you want to talk about guilt? Hashtag someone's tax problems on the back of a t-shirt. Then we'll talk pain, Candace.
Yeah, so Karen's like, you know, you're carrying way too much of your mom's baggage, which is true. And she's like, well, and what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of with your mom? Which, of course, it's like, all right, let's cue the napkin dabbing.
Yeah, and Candace actually pauses because she's trying to figure out a way to say, I don't want to have to get a job. You know, I'm afraid of the workforce. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm worried that my mom's going to hate me. And Karen's like, oh, she'll never stop loving you. I'm like, well, this is Dorothy we're talking about.
Your mother already hates you.
Yeah.
That's obviously not the problem. Your mother visibly hates you. Okay.
Your mother blames you for your father leaving her. I mean, I'm just saying it. Just saying it.
Oh, Lord. So next we see why the mom really hates Candace, because she still doesn't know how to cook eggs, you know? And this is like a mother thing. Like, I taught you how to cook eggs. Why are you still overcooking the eggs? You know?
Yeah,
and I know,
like,
this is supposed...
realize...
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, oh, my mom's so mean. But I'm like, no, you cooked your mom... You burnt your mom's eggs. And now you're like, just eat it, mother.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't realize that my money was going towards hard eggs.
Yeah.
Not how to make the simplest dish.
Gail Simmons just screaming in the background.
Yeah, exactly. So they make this like breakfast, and then Candace puts all the syrup on like a barely toasted waffle. I mean, I was like, I could still see the ice crystals off of that Eggo waffle. I'm like, okay, this woman, she has gone on my bad side in so many ways in one episode. That's not how you treat a waffle.
And the mom was like, well, you make your eggs hard. And she's like, well, yours are too runny. I was like, oh, God, it's another season of this. So Candace is like, well, I would have no edges if every time my mother made a critical comment, I got upset. I would be edgeless, which I thought was funny. And then she tells her mom, so as you know, this is the one day of my life. I get to do whatever I want. And the mom's like, that's literally every day of your life. And I have the Amex bill to prove it.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, so, Mom, there's one guest that's coming that I hope you'll be okay with. And I'm like, okay, first of all, your approach is all wrong, because you shouldn't say, I hope you'll be okay with. You just say, by the way, I'm inviting my half-brother. Anyway, please pass the eggs.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. She's not giving her mom a chance to make a scene. Yeah, but she's also been having a secret relationship with the, you know, secret brother, sibling relationship.
Which is so fucked up that a relationship with her half-brother has to be secret from the mom. Come on. Yeah.
So she's, like, trying to lighten it. She's like, well, I hope you'll be okay with it. She's like, why wouldn't I be? I can never do the mom's voice. The mom's voice is so unique. And Candace starts the napkin fold cry. And then she tells her. And then the mom goes off. She gets so pissed. And she's like, your dad is a cheater and a liar, and he betrayed the family, and now you want to bring that to the wedding.
Great. Yeah, she's like, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And then she's like, why do you go out and chase his illegitimate children who have never been part of your life? Did you consider me? Did you consider my family? I mean, she was, like, honestly being a little deranged.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's not the kid's fault, lady. She's acting like a jackass.
It's not, and you really should be, you should have processed this and handled this by now. Like, I understand, I'm not taking away her anger towards the guy, and clearly she's still in love with him and always will be, but it's also been, like, many years, and you're a therapist, and you should know better at this point.
And Candace mentioned that this happened before they were married. It happened in college, and then they still got married after. So she forgave him enough to get married, but I guess that the rule was that the kid is out of their lives.
You know what? She's probably mad at herself then, isn't she?
She's probably mad about that Eggo waffle, like Lego my ankle.
You know? She's like, this is cold on the inside and it tastes grainy. Okay?
You just fed me a frozen Eggo, okay?
Yeah, frozen Eggo, while she's drinking like a martini at the same time.
My kind of lady.
Martinis and Eggo waffles.
Yep, that's weird. My kind of lady.
So Candace is crying. Like, she's full on crying now. She's like, you're trying to put all this on me. It's not fair. And Dorothy's like, you don't spring this on someone the day before your wedding. And Candace goes, the wedding's not tomorrow. So.
Okay. It's 3 days from now, man. Whoa. Huge difference. Then we get a really good view into this dynamic, because the mom's like, do not bring that into my home. She's like, my wedding is not your home. My wedding is mine. Mine! She starts screaming at her mother like a child, and I'm like, oh my God, these two.
Yeah, exactly. And Dorothy's like, you know what? The people who've been there to nurture you, to change your diaper, to take you to dance class, to take you to your pageant, to buy your pageant dresses, to make sure you live out my vicarious dreams through you, those people you have to be loyal to.
Well, she's also getting money from the dad for the wedding, right? Didn't we see scenes last year where she was asking the dad for a certain amount for the wedding too?
Yeah, he's like, I'll give you $10,000 and that's it. You should not be having a $100,000 wedding. And she's like, but Mom's putting in all this money. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. So the dad put in $10,000, so he should have a say too, you know?
Yeah.
If that's what it's coming down to. But I think the mom's point is, you know, it's about respect or whatever, and she should have talked to her a long time ago, stuff, which I get, but I just...
And not on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really watch this to watch people fight with their moms, you know?
I mean, I do. But, you know, like, Candace crying is, like, nothing new and exciting. But, I mean, you know, her mom is like, slightly a monster. Her mom's sort of a monster. Candace is a brat. And together, they're just a disaster.
Yeah. Pretty much. And that brings us to the end of Potomac, eh?
Hey. So, you guys, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. Make sure you get your merch. There's all sorts of fun stuff. It's also at crappensmerch.com, if that's easier for you to remember. The Straight to the Rosé and Rosé All Day and Shop Brand, all that merchandise is there. Plus, of course, tickets to our shows. So fun. If you're worried about going solo, don't worry. You'll make friends. We really promise it. And we'll be back tomorrow to discuss, part one of Vanderpump Rules Reunion, which looks crazy. And we're also going to be live streaming that. So that's going to be at patreon.com/watchworkcrapins at noon Pacific. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, we will see you later.
Bye.
Join me, Alex Jones, Adrian Charles, Jeff Brazier, and Sophie Thompson on Guy Dogs' new podcast series, I See What You're Saying. We'll be talking to some inspirational guests about how sight loss impacts their parenting, friendships, love life, and family life. Sharing the ups and downs and the funny moments in between. Listen to Guy Dogs' new series, I See What You're Saying, now on your favourite podcast app.
BBC Sounds.
Ancient ancestors, you listening? Apparently, that's the sound of a rainforest, whatever that is. Because in the year 2370, they don't exist. Neither do animals, or insects, or birds. So if we don't have these things anymore, what on earth did you do?
Forest 404, a brand new drama podcast starring Pearl Mackie. To listen to Forest 404 first, download the free BBC Sounds app.